She's gonna be okay. We'll take it down. It's only a church series.
You can't stop it. No one can stop it. Because it's the greatest series of all time.
My grandmother has more life in her, God rest her soul. Move it!
You're not really thinking about picking Rogers, are you?
I wasn't just thinking about it. It's a clear choice.
When you brought a 90-pound asthmatic onto my army base, I let it slide. I thought, what the hell? Maybe it'd be useful to you, like a gerbil. Never thought you'd pick him.
Up!
Stick a needle in that kid's arm. It's gonna go right through him.
Come on, girls.
Look at that. He's making me cry.
I am looking for qualities beyond the physical.
Do you know how long it took to set up this project? All the groveling I had to do in front of Senator What's-His-Name's committees?
Yes, I know. I am well aware of your efforts.
Then throw me a bone. Hodge passed every test we gave him. He's big, he's fast, he obeys orders, he's a soldier.
He's a bully.
You don't win wars with niceness, doctor. You win wars with guts.
Renee! Get away! Get back!
The dummy grenade. All clear. Back in formation.
Is this a test?
He's still skinny.
Don't walk out there when it's pitch dark. You're going to run into stuff. First service, I slammed a light in the back. Now I just about knocked Sean's mic over. He's still skinny. Captain America. How many of you know his background story? That's Marvel's first superhero, by the way. Marvel Comics, that's the first one. And I love the story of Captain America, about this skinny little 95-pound asthmatic that really wanted to join the army in World War II. He wanted to defend his country. He had all the right reasons, but he kept getting rejected until he gets chosen by a scientist to be a part of a super soldier program. And that's what they were arguing about in the beginning. The colonel that was leading it up, he in the choice process, Hodges was the guy that looked like the soldier, the perfect guy, and the doctor wanted to pick the little asthmatic guy. I think that's the reason, one of the reasons it's my favorite is I love history. I love the whole World War II era. And I was that 95-pound asthmatic kid. And so I relate to just having the heart. But as you saw in that scene, the reason the doctor wanted to pick him is because his super serum and Vitaraze, the thing to make the super soldier, just takes what you already have inside. It exaggerates it. It makes good great. It makes bad worse. And so he wanted to pick someone who had known what it was like to be weak so he would understand strength. And that's why Steve Rogers gets chosen and he becomes Captain America. And what's great about it is my favorite superhero. It's by extension as the father, it is my kids and especially my youngest daughter. We just love it. I mean, we've seen Captain America probably 9 times together. The Avengers probably 8 or 9 times. Whenever we're bored, we watch it. And I love the story. I love the story of like, why was he chosen? Because look what he did. He had the guts. He was willing. He jumped on the grenade. The weak little guy had the heart. And you know what I love about that scene is? The woman who ends up becoming the woman that falls in love with him and stuff. See how she looked at him already? He wasn't studly yet. But what she saw was his heart, the commitment. And that's what I want to talk to us about today on Father's Day. This message is for all of us, but I'm mainly going to punch dads in the throat. Because that's what we do around here on Father's Day. We honor moms on Mother's Day and make them feel good. Guys, I punch you in the throat. But at least I do it quickly. So now, the reality is it's not a throat punch. I'm trying to go after the heart of what men want. Well, don't you want to be the guy that would jump on the grenade? Don't you want to be the hero? There's something in us that we're willing. We're willing to be the hero. We want to be the hero. But here's the thing. Steve Rogers, when he was wimpy, was willing to jump on the grenade, but he can only do that one time, right? One time and you're done. One time and you're done. Even when he's Captain America, He's still a man. He can still be hurt. He just regenerates fast. It's hard to regenerate from your body being blown all over the place. So the issue is, how can we be the heroes of our home? How can we jump on the grenade, so to speak, and be the dads that we're called to be the hero, but do it more than once? How can we take a willingness of heart and transform it? You see, because there's a couple passages I want to read today, and one of them is in 1 Samuel chapter 16. God has rejected Saul because he's like Hodges. He was the guy, the obvious choice. He looked like a soldier. He was a soldier. He was taller than everyone else. He's big. He's that. And God's rejecting him because his heart. And so then God sends Samuel out to choose another king. And he sends him to the house of Jesse. And he says, I'll tell you which son it is. And when Samuel gets there, he sees Eliab, one of David's older brothers. And he looks like Hodge. He looks like a soldier. He looks like a leader. And Samuel says, oh, that's got to be the guy. And then the Lord says, no. And verse 7 of chapter 1 Samuel 16 says, don't judge by his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Just like Captain America, it was an issue of the heart before he had the power. And it's the same thing. David was called a man after God's own heart. It didn't mean he was perfect, guys. The talk today is not how to be a perfect dad, to be a perfect man. David did a lot of knuckleheaded moves, but what made him different than Saul was when he messed up, he would repent, he would run back to God. His heart pursued God. He trusted God. And as so we look at this today, what I want to talk about is how do we, especially dads, how do we become the holy hero of our home? How can we jump on grenades? How can we stop flaming arrows? How can we protect our home from evil? How do we really pour into our home? But in a way that can happen more than once. We don't get blown up the first time we try, because there's a lot of men in this room. A lot of you are struggling, guys. A lot of you dads, you're like, hey, I was willing to jump on the grenade, but you've been blown apart. Your heart's been blown apart. You've been dead, and you're like, I can't pick up the pieces. I don't know what to do here. Today, I want to talk about how we protect ourselves. How does God want us to be protected in this process? And what we're going to be talking about is a piece of equipment that Captain America had. Can you guess what it is? You see, that's the thing that protected him. That's the thing that allowed him to jump from high distances. It would stop bullets. It would protect him from grenades. He had this shield to protect himself with. Matter of fact, Captain America is the original of the Marvel superheroes. In the Avengers, he is not the most powerful of the superheroes, but he is their leader because he's good. He's got the character. And he uses his shield to protect himself from dangerous situations, like the scene we're about to watch from the movie Avengers. Thor and Iron Man are not getting along, which reminds me of being a dad, and Thor and Iron Man are like his kids because he's their leader. And he has to jump into the fray, and he has to be their leader. And it, you know, doesn't turn out well, at least, but watch what he does with the shield. Watch this.
I'd sit this one out, Cap.
I don't see how I can.
These guys come from legend. They're basically gods.
There's only one god, man, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that. Enough. Now, I don't know what you plan on doing here.
I've come here to put an end to Loki's schemes.
And prove it. Put that hammer down.
Yeah, no.
Bad call. He loves his...
You want me to put the hammer down?
Any of you dads relate to that? Are we done here? You've been thrown into a mix. You've been thrown into a situation and you're attacked. I love the part where it shows the above shot after the and all you see is that shield and he's underneath it. And I go, guys, when it comes to being heroes in our home, when it comes to being a spiritual leader, the Bible talks about a shield that we need to hold on to. A shield that when we have that in our life, it's indestructible. It'll stop us. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6, and it's verse 16. And Paul's writing, and he's finishing this book, and he's talking about all this armor we need to put on to go into battle, to be able to live the Christian life. And one of the last things he says here is, in addition to all these, the other things, he says, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. There's gonna be things that are gonna fly and try to hammer you. There's gonna be grenades that come in. And the one thing that we carry is the shield of faith. And just like Captain America has his shield, we need to carry our shield because he's strong, he's fast, he's all this stuff. But without that shield, he would be killed. And the same thing with us. We can have all the heart in the world. We can have all the good intentions of the world. We can have all these other strengths. But if we don't have the shield of faith, we can't protect ourselves. We can't protect our families. We can't be the heroes God's called us to be. So what does that shield of faith look like? Well, if you turn to one other passage, we're going to land. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This chapter in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, it's obviously written to the Hebrews, to the Jews. So it's very technical. There's a lot of Old Testament. There's a lot of deep theology in it. And it's basically this attempt to try to tie what God had promised into what happened through Jesus and what's going on. And Hebrews 11 could be called basically the superhero chapter, the superheroes of faith. It's like the Justice League of faith. I will leave DC out of this. It's the the Avengers of faith, so to speak. But they're these men and women that live by faith. And what's interesting about this chapter as a whole is where it lies in this story of trying to tie what God's been doing throughout time together is chapter 11 can be summed up literature-wise as a historical retrospective. The whole chapter is what it is. Historical retrospective is when you take history, and in this case, the writer's taking the history of the Hebrews and what God's done, and he's using their history to make one point. And that one point is, we always live by faith. The Old Testament, they may have talked about works, but that God always intended for us to live by faith. We have a relationship with God by faith. God saves us, it's by his grace through faith. And then he lists all these people that did things. They weren't perfect people, but they did these amazing things by faith. And what he's trying to say is, if you look at the history of Israel, God's people have done powerful things through faith in a powerful God. It always goes back to the faith in God. See, the shield of faith that he wants us to have is not a faith in ourselves, not a faith in our strength. It's, I got to trust the shield. I have to just put my faith in God. And so that's what this passage, it talks about. As a matter of fact, it defines it right in the first couple verses. It says, faith is the confidence that we hope for, what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. So the idea is faith is that idea that we have confidence and we hope that what God says is actually going to happen. That's how we know God. That's the shield of faith. Well, if you skip down as he goes through all these Bible characters, starting in verse 5, he talks about a character named Enoch. And Enoch was a man who was considered a great man of faith. He was a man who pleased God, as it says in verse 5. It says that he had pleased God. He was known as a person who pleased God. Well, verse 6 now defines how he did that. So it kind of gives us a definition of faith. It says, this is the shield of faith. This is what this faith looks like. And what's ironic is there's three elements in this verse I want to talk about. And Captain America's shield, and I'm going to go comic book nerd on you right now, is if you go back into the comics, Captain America's shield was made out of three elements that made it indestructible. The first one was this element called vibranium, which is not real. It's why he could take a rocket or a huge blast and stand there and not get blown a million miles away. It takes all the vibration out of stuff. The second one you might not know is it's made out of adamantium. And come on, all you nerds, who's got some adamantium in them? Yeah, Wolverine's claws and his bones are covered with adamantium. The third thing is this metal from Asgard, which is where Thor is from, that is what Thor's hammer's made out of. So this alloy of all three of these elements make it an indestructible shield. And in this verse, in verse 6, there's three things that describes what our faith should be, that if you want to have a shield of faith that's indestructible, it needs to have these elements. And here it is, verse 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Did you see all three things? They're simple. They're simple. If you have your Bibles and you like to underline stuff, you can underline the idea of believe, rewards, and seek. Because in those three words, we have three elements of the shield of faith that when we put our faith in that, when we stand behind that, we will have an indestructible shield. And dads, it's this. This is what it means to be a leader. Being a leader means I'm willing to jump on the grenades. But being a leader says, I'm willing to have the shield that protects me and my family from those grenades. That's what it means. And it's simple. Those three words add up to this. And here's what's funny. The faith is, like I said, it's not faith in ourselves. All three of these point us to God. It's all about how I see God and how I believe in God. And those three things are, God is real, God is reliable, and God is reachable. It's that simple, simple message, guys. I put it on the bottom shelf for you. God is real, God is reliable, and God is reachable. Simple. The first one, God is real. That's where it says, you gotta believe that God exists. See, when you think of this being a hero and having this superpower, and we talk about the shield of faith, many of us are out there, you've, like I said, a grenade or two has blown you up, you've tried to lead, and now you're like, this is so complicated. What does it mean? How do I become a spiritual leader? How can I really be a father that's really there? How do I do this? How do I do this? And the reality is it's so much simpler. The first thing you gotta do is believe that God really is. Do you really believe in God? Now that sounds kind of easy. You say, well, I'm here, aren't I? I believe God's real. I really do believe he's real. But here's the crazy thing but do you believe he's real, real? Or do you come here like, hey, this is a place where I get some good inspiration. I like some of the thoughts. My kids get taught some good values. I learned some good morals. I learned some ethics that help me succeed in life. It's good. But you know what that is? That's like my daughter and I watching Captain America 9 times. Or we watch the Avengers. There's some great values in there that we love. And I like it. I'll watch it. I'll listen to it. I'll say, that's a good value. But do my daughter and I really believe that Captain America and Iron Man and them are flying around? I don't really believe that. I just like the values found in the story. Everyone here, but really dads, which way do you lean in your faith? Do you really believe he's real? It's almost a reference back to verse 3. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, and that what we now see did not come from anything that could be seen. Do you believe that God created the universe? Do you believe he's real? That he's really there? I know it sounds so simple on the surface. Let me ask a question. Dads, let me apply this to being a dad. Here's a way to ask this question. Can your kids tell that you believe God is real? Is there any evidence in the way you talk that they know from you God is real? Or do you just bring them here and hope that by the time Ryan gets them, they've heard some good things? Or do they know from you God's real? I had a father that I'll be honest, because the cool thing about him is it's never too late to start. I had a dad that grew up, and when I was growing up, he had this part down. He didn't have the other two parts down. He had to learn them. But at least he grew up in a generation, you know, there's only one God, ma'am, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that. you know, he's of that generation. And he believed God was real. He'd always talk about the good Lord, the good book, and all these things. And the reality is he believed God was real enough that when I would ask him about having gone off to war three times, spent 8 years of his life in combat, and I was just watching with my son the series The Pacific, and because that's where my dad fought in World War II in the Pacific. So, and we're watching it, and it's just like crazy. And the last episode shows how some of the guys dealt with when they got home. And one of the guys really struggled. He cried, and he just struggled with, of all these guys, why did I live and everyone else die? And I asked my dad once, I go, did you ever struggle with that? He goes, nope. I'm like, are you just cold? You know, he goes like, I just figure it was the good Lord's plan. The good Lord, I just always figured. And you know what? And his plan was weird. 8 years of combat, not a scratch. Driving through the cone, passing California, getting a crash, lose an eye. That's what happened to him. Everyone thought he lost an eye at war. He lost in a car wreck. And I knew from a young age, he was very confident God was real. But it just stopped there. And that might be, some of you might have this part down. God is real. And you come to church and you say, God is real, God is real. But then it says, but do you believe God exists and that he rewards? Now, that word for reward is not, come on down, here's your cash and prizes. He's talking about the whole context. He ends this passage, this chapter ends with him talking about the promises God has made. So he means he rewards, meaning he will come through on his promises. When you believe he's real and you put faith, everything he promised, he'll come through on. It's saying he is reliable. So the other word, if you turn these things around, if therefore the faith means God is real, I need to know him. Secondly, if God rewards and he's reliable, I need to trust him. See, that's the next level. Some of you are like, I believe God's real, but do you actually trust him with your life? That's what he's talking about. Every one of these people he lists by faith trusted God in their lives. Didn't mean they're perfect, but they trusted God. And at the end it says, they didn't see the final promise. They didn't get to see Jesus come. They didn't get to see that, but they knew that he took care of them in their lives. So the reality is, the second question then is, if do you have a faith that says God is real, and do your kids know that you believe that? Have you ever had a conversation with your kids about the existence of God? But then secondly, God is reliable. Do you trust him? And here's the question. Do your children see you trusting him? See, that's the thing where my dad didn't have that down right away. He said he believed in God, but then every decision we made in life, every time I watched my parents make a financial decision, every time they made any kind of decision with the job, they'd make decisions about what they thought was best for us. He was a good dad, but I never saw my family wrestle with does God's word say? What would God want me to do in that? I didn't grow up with that. So I grew up in a home that God's real. We just don't listen to him. Did I just describe some of you dads? Do you trust him with your everyday life? You see, your kids are gonna be what they see, not what you say. They're gonna be what they see, not what you say. And sometimes we say, God's real, you should trust him. And then when they watch you and mom discuss things and you make decisions and you decide what you're gonna do with your time, you decide what you're gonna do with your money. They decide what you do on Sundays. And dads, if you decide like during football season I check out, guess what you just taught your kids? There's always other priorities that can supersede trusting God and seeking God. So this is a simple thing about faith. It's putting your faith in God. But when you dig deeper, you got to ask yourself your question, what do the kids see? What do they see? Do they see a man who trusts that God is reliable and I can trust him? Even when it doesn't make sense. Man, like the scene we showed where Captain America, she says, hey, you better stay out of this. This is a little bit in over your head. And he goes, I can't see how I can do that. He knows he's called to jump into that. Where are you? So then you go one step deeper. God is real, I know him. God is reliable, I trust him. And then the last thing it says, those who sincerely seek him. God is reachable. You can go spend time with him. The Bible over and over says, those who seek him, he will be found. He's out there. So some of us, I believe he's real. I trust him as much as I can. The problem is you just don't know him very well. You haven't been seeking him. So there's lots of things you don't even know how to trust him on. Because you're not saying, the way you primarily seek him is through the word, through the word of God. So it's the idea, do I get into the word of God? Do I seek him? Guys, I told you, this is not rocket science. It's just a basic message, but it's the reality of this is how you get an indestructible faith. Do you seek God? And here's the question, more importantly, is especially to dads. Do your kids ever see you seeking God? Like I said, my dad grew up in a generation. He believed in God, didn't really trust him, didn't really seek him, just said, I know he's real. So I at least had that foundation of God's real. Well, I came to Christ, kind of my dad did, but then he never really walked with him. He just stated, I believe in him, but I'm not seeking him. And then when I was in high school, I became a Christian and I grew. And I went off and decided I want to go to ministry. And I went to Bible college, and I got a degree in that. And I went to seminary, and I knew the Bible, and I was so far ahead of my dad. But you know what, dads? Here's the encouragement. My dad not only caught up, he passed me. Because as he got back into his relationship with God, and we would start talking about God, and he got involved in church, and then when he retired, instead of retiring to sit on the couch and do nothing, he actually started getting involved in ministry when he retired. And the part with him seeking God in God's word is he had a hard time reading he just didn't understand it. So I got him this 365-day devotional commentary and an easier to read translation of the Bible. And I said, here you go. And he decided to go for it. And you know what happened? About the last 10, 15 years of his life, if you didn't see him hanging out with the family and he was back in his bedroom laying on his bed, he was reading his Bible. Matter of fact, I'd see him with his eyes closed, or his eye closed, his one eye would stay open. It was kind of freaky. I was like, is he looking at me? I don't know. But he would be in there reading his Bible and praying. And did you realize the last year he's alive, here he is deteriorating in health. He can't even, you know, he's not able to get out there as much. He read the entire Bible 4 times in that last year. 4 times in 1 year. I'd be sitting with him, and it used to be I was the one that had all the advanced knowledge. And my dad not only got to know the Lord so well and trust him so much, that I'd be sitting there bummed out, and he'd be like, you know, son, like, you know, in the book of Habakkuk. And I'm like, is that even in the Bible? Did you just make that up? Because he didn't say it right. He probably said Habakkuk or whatever. I don't know. That should be an encouragement. Guys, it's not too late to start. Because I had a dad that believed in God. He was a good dad in every other way. But he didn't believe God was reliable or reachable till he got older. But he showed me how to finish well. He mentored me. So that's why I ask. Do your children see you seeking him? Because here's the truth. Stat after stat shows that kids tend to follow what dad does more than mom. I'm sorry, moms. So if you're sitting here thinking, let mom carry the load spiritually, that's exactly the opposite of what God said when he said you're to be a leader. Do you think maybe he called men to be leaders, not bosses? Because kids instinctively are wired to follow dad? Do you want to be the hero of the home? Do you want to be the one that no matter what, you'll jump on the grenade? Then simply put a faith in God that says, I know him, I trust him, I seek him. Because then they'll see a real God. They'll really see who Jesus is. Because you know what? You're not going to convince me why my wife's not real. Because I have a relationship with her. I spend time with her. I see her all the time. Some of you, if you're struggling with, I don't know about the realness of God, is you spend no time with him. Spend time with him and see what happens to that relationship. Know him. Trust him. Seek him. But here's the thing. If you do, if you decide to go after it, this is a simple message. If you decide to just put your faith in Jesus and put your faith that it's real, that who he says he is who he is, that he died for you, And if I put my faith in that, and then put my life's trust in that, and then seek him, God will give me that shield to hold up, that through the worst times, I'll be protected. I can make it through the worst things. See, so many of us, when it says to seek God, the only time you seek him is really, you grab God's word and you really just look, you're trying to ask Jeeves, ask Jesus, you're trying to Google an answer. You're like, all right, I'm having a problem. Where's the answer? You come to me as a pastor, been doing this a long time, guys. Hey, if life's not working out, fix it. Magic sprinkle pastor dust on it, you know? Give me a Bible verse that's gonna transform my life. And you realize that's not seeking God. That's seeking, usually you're doing that because I'm seeking relief. I'm not seeking God. Notice how it says you seek God. He didn't say you seek relief, you seek an answer to your problem, you seek to get your wife to treat you better, you seek to get, he says you seek him. Him. And here's my challenge, men. If you go for this, we live in a world that doesn't think this way. We live in a world that's old fashioned. If you choose to live and lead in your home with a faith that knows God, trusts God, and seeks God, and you show that to your children and the world around you, people are gonna think you're old fashioned. They're gonna think you're crazy. Especially, they don't mind if you come to church, like you said, and don't really believe in God. Hey, it's a good place to learn to be a good moral person. Your kids get some values, they'll be okay with that. But if you start saying, I can't go to that, I'm serving at my church. I'm going to Saturday night service now. You ought to come with me. Why do you do that? Well, you know, and then what? How long are you gonna be there? Well, I go to one service, I serve one service. Why would you do that? Well, you know, I just believe in my church. And hey, you wanna go with us on this trip? No, you know what, I'm sacrificing. I've given some more finances to my church. You give money to the church? Why would you do that? We live in a world that if you live this way, guys, you're gonna be old-fashioned. But you know what? What is Captain America called? A man out of time. Because in his story, he did something heroic and he was frozen on ice for 70 years. And he woke up to a world that had changed. And he woke up to a world that was different. He woke up to a world that a lot of what he believed would be old-fashioned. And that's what I love about this scene from Avengers when Agent Coulson, who like admires, he loves Captain America, he has Captain America trading cards. Imagine waking up to that. The guy wakes up and he's like, what? And as he's talking to him, he talks about some modifications he made to his suit. And he has this conversation about old fashioned. Watch this.
I gotta say, it's an honor to meet you, officially. I sort of met you. I mean, I watched you while you were sleeping. I mean, I was present while you were unconscious from the ice. You know, it's just a huge honor to have you on board.
Well, I hope I'm the man for the job.
Oh, you are. Absolutely. We made some modifications to the uniform. I had a little design input.
The uniform? Aren't the stars and stripes a little old-fashioned?
Everything that's happening, the things that are about to come to light, people might just need a little old-fashioned.
If everything that's happening, everything's going to come to light, people might just need a little old-fashioned. Doesn't get any more old-fashioned than God, because he's been here a long time. And you know what? You want to be the holy hero of the home? Be willing to be the old-fashioned man out of time that has that shield of faith. Because that's what it means to be the hero. And I should know, because my daughter gave me the shirt today. Trust me, I'm a superhero. And not only did she give me this, she made me a card. My 11-year-old, and I won't read the first part, the mushy, I'm the greatest dad on the planet, because it'll make all you other dads feel bad. But she circled in a box this last part. Your heart is better than Captain America's. You can lift Thor's hammer. You're stronger than Hulk. You're smarter than Iron Man. And you're cooler than Superman. Here's my point. And I asked her why she put your heart is better than Captain America's first. And she said, it's because you love Jesus and you show me Jesus. And you realize on this list, this is all fake. But the only thing I really can be is have a heart that's better than Captain America's. Because I can have a heart that has a faith that God is real. That God is reliable. And that God is reachable. And I can raise my kids under that shield. Do you want to do that, dads? Because here's what I want to do. I want to pray. And what I want to do is I want to pray for the dads in the room. And I'm going to ask all the dads to stand up. Dads, grandpas, stand up. And after the dads stand up, there's actually one other group I want to join you. Because, like I said, we can use a little old-fashioned right now. We live in a world that's gone so past old-fashioned. Old-fashioned faith, trusting in God. And we live in a world that's filled with hurt, filled with pain. And there are a lot of women in here that you don't have a dad for your children around. And you're doing double duty. So if you are both mom and dad in your home, I want you to stand up as well. Join us. Thanks. I want to pray this a blessing over you. That in your lives you would carry and hold up this shield each and every day. It's that simple. That's what makes you the hero. Father, I just thank you, Lord, and I pray over each person standing, each man and woman. Because Lord, as we go out into the world, Lord, and we try to raise our kids in a world that is crazy and there's so many things we're worried about, Lord, I pray that each person standing would be the hero in their home, that you would give them the gift of faith. You call it a gift. Give them that gift. Give them ability to have a faith that knows you're real. And in knowing that you are real, they will put it to the test in trusting you in everyday life, and that their kids will see that and hear that from them. And that finally, Lord, that they will watch their mom, their dad, they'll watch them seek you each and every day. May they raise their kids that when they move out, they hand them their own shield of faith. And they'll carry theirs into their lives from this day and forevermore. I pray this blessing over them standing in this room, Lord. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, happy Father's Day. God bless you.